Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 9th, 2012. And woohoo, it's episode 400. God,
400.
I've been up to you for a long time. That's just amazing. Good morning, horse people.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar.
Hey, 400 episodes, Jamie. 400.
That's amazing. I mean, that's just crazy. I don't think I ever did 400 shows with any other radio job, so that's pretty good.
I'm flattered that you actually made it that long, then.
You've been here a year, you got to go.
Yeah, get out of here. We have to pay you too much for the second year, so you're gone. See, we just don't pay you, so that solves that problem.
That's why we've made it so far together. Job security for me, I'm just happy to work, and you're happy to not pay me. So it's really great.
Hey, what happened? Yesterday you made your official prediction on The Voice, your TV show The Voice, and you gave us this long explanation. Like, be honest, I tuned out after about 2 minutes. So I even forget who you picked. You picked some guy. And I want to know if that some guy won.
Well, you're just going to have to stick around to the Daily Winnies.
Okay, I'll do that.
Hey,
I'll do that. I'll stick around.
How about you start the show? Okay, that's going to be your Daily Winnie. So let's move on. Jennifer, what's on today's show?
Well, before we do that, I do have something, though, for you. I got my call from my brother the other day, and he said, you got to go on the Pennsylvania Treasury website. Because they have a section on every state website where they have unclaimed property. You know, banks and things like that have to turn property over to the state if it has been unclaimed after a period of time. So I got this dilemma I need your help with. So he said, look up your name. Your name's on there. You have unclaimed property. And, of course, what's the first thing that would go through your head, Jamie?
It's a scam?
No, it's not a scam. Okay, that might be the first thing.
I like that, yeah.
See, this is where you and I differ, because first thing went through my head is, oh, my God, there's probably $10,000 there that I forgot about. That was the first thing that went through my head is, oh, man, it's a lot of money. I'm typing it in as fast as I can. And I get there. And it actually tells you what it was. It was actually PayPal money, unclaimed PayPal check. And it says the amount, but it gives you a range. And this range is under $100. But it doesn't tell you how much under $100. So you can actually just fill out this form, but you have to go get it notarized, and you have to fill out this form. You have to send it in with all kinds of proof that you're who you are, and they'll send you your unclaimed money. But it's like, okay, so now I got to get it notarized. That's a hassle. I got to get all these documents and make copies and put it all together. And it says it's under $100. And it's freaking PayPal. So I'm thinking the check could be for $3.95, and I don't know that. I could spend $25 doing this and get a $5 check back. So the question is, do you do it or do you count on it being like $90?
You know, that basically is going to come down to the fundamental personality that you have. Are you a gambling man or are you not? And if you're a gambling man, you're going to go and you're going to get it all done. You're going to lay it on the line and hope the gamble pays off. But if you're not, then you're going to sit back and go, yeah, it's not worth it.
Well, you know, curiosity's kind of killing me on this one. I got to be honest. My curiosity is getting me. I almost want to see if it's $3 or $99, you know? I just get put.
You know, either way, Glenn, it's going to be a good story. So if you could, if you get a check and you come back on the show,
so
like, oh, my God,
it
was $99.99. That's what I do. I do everything I do. I live my life disastrously for the show. Now, you could be spending hours and hours.
Are you saying that you intentionally let your horse loose the other day so you could tell that story about you being the person that let their horse, their horses got loose at the horse show? Are you that dedicated?
Obviously, because nobody is as dumb as I am. So, yeah, now that actually just happened. So maybe it's just me. So I would say to myself, self, let's go find out, because it would be exciting. Now, the other part of me hates doing paperwork, so I probably wouldn't do it.
That was my part, too, to be honest with you. I was going, oh, God, I still have these papers. And then we got to find a notary in Ocala. I got to go find one, you know? And it's like, ugh. Notaries used to be easy to find. There used to be little signs as you drove through town that said notary office. And now it's like, where do you go to find a notary?
This is when you have your smartphone and you plug in notary and see what pops up in the map section.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
Have...
Yeah, I think banks usually have.
On today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, we open with a rousing review of our host's recent adventures with varying degrees of entertainment value, I'm sure. And being Wednesday and all, thehorse.com is here once again. This time to chat about fat horses. So, Glenn, pay attention. Stay tuned for the first.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my Daily Winnie, first of all, goes out to all the listeners out there. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. 400 episodes, and some of you crazy people have actually listened to all of them. Jamie and I, we do the show and we don't listen to all of them. So
I wasn't even on all of them. I think I've taken vacation days. I mean, and I certainly didn't listen to those. Sorry, boss.
Be honest, you don't listen to half the ones we do together. And you're on the
show. I never go back and listen ever. Sorry. But I tune out when you talk, so I only listen to half the show.
That's what I mean. You only hear half the show. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Well, if anybody wants to give us a call and say hi today, we would love to hear from, especially our avid listeners. You can give us a call at 347-637-3238 on this 400th episode. We'd love to hear from you. And I have a second Daily Vinny, Jamie. This Daily Winnie goes out to my lovely wife, Coach Jen, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Jennifer, and I have a longer version of this song for you.
What on earth is this?
Happy birthday, Jennifer.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Jennifer. Are you proud of your husband for bringing something from 1982 up to the table here for your birthday song?
Jeez,
you know, Glenn, seriously.
Yeah. Some things less is more, Glenn.
Well, you know what, though? I have to be careful because I don't think you want us to get sued on your birthday either, so... I had to be kind of careful about that. That wouldn't be a good birthday present with the music people suing us for reusing it. Do you realize that the regular happy birthday song, Jamie, that you can't even sing that on the radio anymore?
Yeah, you've never been able to. You have to pay somebody. Some person is living on the mansion on a hill with like 1,000 acres, with a moat around their house, with a gated entrance, with 25 employees, and they're sitting atop of the hill going, my great, great, great grandmother wrote happy birthday.
That is so true. Well, happy birthday, sweetie. Yeah. And we're going out to dinner tonight, and Jennifer's dad and stepmom are here, so they're going to go along. So it's going to be a nice day, and I think she's hay shopping today. That I told her, you can do whatever you want on your birthday, just cut out after the show, and she's like, going buy hay. So that's a horse girl for you, Jamie.
What a happy birthday. That's awesome, Jen. Well, happy birthday to you.
Here's yours, Jamie.
Well, I was filtering through all the news stories and wondering who I should give my daily Winnie to. We're going to tell you about Black Caviar. We're going to tell you about this Boyd Martin story. We're going to get Zenyatta's in full for the second time. The police found it. Got Claire Lomas walked 26 miles. All of those would have been amazingly awesome daily Winnies, but that's not what I chose. The daily Winnie for today is... Hold on. Congratulations to Jermaine for winning The Voice, baby. Last night, The Voice wrapped up its second season, and we had 4 contestants vying to be The Voice. And who did I pick yesterday? I may not be able to pick a winner at the racetrack, but by God, I said it was going to be Jermaine, and it was! Woohoo! Blake Shelton's Jermaine won The Voice last night. I'm so excited. And you know what? Chad was thrilled, too, because now the show is over.
He doesn't have to watch it anymore. Well, now, so I won the Kentucky Derby, and you won The Voice.
Yay! I think yours paid off a little more, but it was a pretty epically awesome. It was a great show. I mean, oh my God, Glenn, Justin Bieber performed on the show last night.
Oh, and I know how much you love him.
I mean, come on, the guy is super talented. You know who else performed on the show last night? Hall and Oates. That's right. They're still
did
alive.
Did you make Chad sit for Justin Bieber? At least did you fast forward through that part?
You know, no, I did not fast forward to that part because I actually was curious because I've never really seen the guy. And he's actually really, I mean, he's a really good little dancer. He's such a little, tiny little guy. So I actually made Chad watch it, but don't fool yourself. My husband has this iPhone app that he paid like $100-something for where he can watch every San Francisco Giants game from his iPhone. So he sits there with me watching The Voice, but actually he's got his iPhone 7 inches in front of his face as he watches baseball games.
That's his way of saying, but I was with you, dear. I was right there.
I know. He's like, are you mad I'm not sitting here paying attention to the final voice? And I was like, I don't care. As long as I get to watch it, you can do whatever you want. And rub my feet.
Justin Bieber graduated from high school yesterday. Actually, he took his GED test and passed after having private tutoring for the last 10 years. And he was quoted as saying that he really was so happy that that was done because it is so hard to do your schoolwork and work at his job every day in the $10 million mansion. Tough.
I feel bad for him. You know, it's just a hard life to live. And gosh, poor guy. Just poor guy, you know.
And he didn't want to finish school. His mom made him finish school and take his GED. Did you realize that, like, there are, like, all these singing stars that started out when they were kids that never finished school? There's a bunch of them that you would know that just never finished school. That wasn't important.
And
I guess there's...
Glenn, is those stars who grew up without getting an education then blow through their money and have to do Dancing with the Stars when they're 50. Because they need the cash.
That's true. That is true. Well, give us the news here. And this is, I'll tell you what, why don't you do the news today and I'll tune out.
Oh, that sounds like an average everyday thing for you anyway. So we're good. Well, everybody, I want you to right now write this down because you need to. You don't have to leave right now, but go set your DVRs if you have a TiVo, a DVR, because Boyd Martin and Neville Bardos, the horse that he saved from the fire, they're going to be on prime time national TV tonight. It's NBC's Rock Center at 9 p.m. Eastern, and the piece is called Clearing Hurdles. So you can set your DVR. It's going to be, first of all, it's just exciting to see horse stuff on TV that's real, you know, and I really hope that there's, we'll have to see if there's any fake winnings by Neville, but they probably will add them in. But it's on, you can go to the NBC website right now to read more about it. But again, 9 p.m. Eastern, NBC's Rock Center. Do you want me to keep telling with you, the news?
I'm telling you that this is going to be the biggest story of the Olympics. They are going to play this story about him surviving the fire. It's going to be the backstory of the Olympics this year.
What's awesome about that is that means eventing is actually going to get a little bit of time on the television. At least we'll see Boyd's run on cross country with Neville. But yeah, it's going to be an awesome story. My God, I hope they keep him sound and happy all the way to London.
I am excited about that. I think it's great. I think it's good for the sport. We need some positive stories out there. You know, we're especially when you get to the Olympics and the WEG. You know, if one horse has an accident or they have to put one horse down, then that's all you hear about all week. So let's hope that this changes that a little bit and we got a nice positive story out there. Speaking of positive stories, I didn't think Black Caviar was going to run again until they took him over to Great Britain for the Royal Ascot in June.
First of all, Black Caviar is a she, so don't ever call that wonderful mare a he again. I guess they wanted to put another race in between this and the Royal, the last one and the Royal Ascot, because that's all the way in June. And she's a sprinter, so I think they do run a little bit more. But she's going to run in the Goodwood Stakes. It's 1,200 meters, which is about 6 furlongs. On the grass, and she's currently 20 for 20, has earned more than $5.5 million. Just absolutely awesome horse. So it's going to be May 12th in a Group One stake. So we'll get you more information on that. But they just announced that she was going to be there. There's only eight more horses in the race. So she's got some. Everybody's coming after her. She is the horse to beat. If you are the one that beat, you know, because blessed in Yada's heart, that 19 for 19. Can you tell me the name of the horse that beat her?
That's a good question. No, I can't. Wow,
you can't?
That is a good question.
Jennifer,
no.
Do you remember? What? She's not paying attention. Do you remember the name
Bardos.
Of the horse?
Watching Neville Bardos. It's your fault.
Do you remember the name? What's the name of the horse that beat Zenyatta in the final race?
Don't remember.
Doesn't
matter.
God, that's awesome. All right, the first listener to post it on our Facebook page gets a gold star for the day. Because to me, that name, that horse's name, is going to stick with me forever. Because it's like when Man O' War was beat by a nose to a horse named Upset. There's always like the one horse that sticks out. And so everybody's vying to be this one horse for Black Caviar and be the one horse that beat her. So, that was my point, but you guys failed the test epically. Thanks.
No, but my point, I totally disagree with you. You never remember the one who beat the superstar. Nobody ever remembers that horse.
Well, good. I'm glad you don't, because that day was burning my brain because I cried like a baby. Stupid horse. Wish they would just held him. Good Lord. Gotta hate that horse. All right.
And Black Caviar does have that kind of fan following and that kind of popularity in Australia, if not even a little bit more, because it is a smaller country. It just she's hugely popular there.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. So that was my point. Now speaking of Zenyatta, we talked a little bit because we got the breaking news yesterday that Zenyatta was actually confirmed in full, and it's Tappet is what we like to call the baby daddy. And she was ultrasound yesterday. It confirmed the pregnancy. Now, her Bernardini colt is doing well. They've done lots of news stories. Did you see the one that was going around on Facebook? It's probably on her Facebook page, on how crazy this baby is. I mean, I guess he beats up all the other foals. He screams and he runs and he's just absolutely fractious and crazy, and they love it. They love it. And
spoiled,
she,
rotten
and then,
child. Spoiled,
oh,
rotten.
Oh, God. Yeah. Can you imagine the person that breaks that baby? And they're like, they have to, like, you know, muscle it up a little bit or something. It's like, don't hurt it. Please don't hurt it. It's not his baby. But the news story, I'll try to find it. Charles Campbell, the hottie from Lane's End, was actually interviewed in the whole thing. So it was pretty cool. But anyway, we were talking yesterday about Tappet, and you were asking who Tappet is. And I said, well, you know, he's got a son that's running right now that is really doing well. And I finally remembered that horse's name is Hansen. Hansen. So can you imagine a Hansen with a mom like Zenyatta? That horse would run like its tail was on fire. So I think it's going to be an awesome mating, and I'm so excited for Zenyatta. Yay!
And then I saw you had a story in here about the story from Arkansas that will never die. We can remind everybody what that is. Remember the story way back when with the Southern Arkansas University where somebody stole the horses and the tack and all that stuff, and then they found the horses, you know, tied to trees, and one of them named Credit Card was dead and had been killed and murdered. And then they arrested this woman who, God, I'm trying to remember all the details of this story. I tried to put it out of my brain. It was so disgusting. What was her story? She had a relationship with the manager of a team or something.
Well,
and
it was a rodeo
just
team.
A wacko.
And
right.
Yeah, her name is J.C. Rowe Jackson of McCurtain County, Oklahoma. And she was, I don't know if she was trying to sleep with him or he denied her or this is it, but it was like the superstar on the team, the rodeo team, she had some sort of falling out with. It was like a boy-girl thing, and I think he didn't want her or something like that. So she called up all her friends, and they went ahead and stole the whole thing and then killed and dismembered Credit Card, the guy's horse. Just a god-awful story about these horrible people. Well, they arrested J.C. Ray Jackson. She has been charged in connection with the horse theft, and she had faces felony counts in Arkansas and Oklahoma, but they named another guy, because she didn't do it alone, obviously. They named another guy named William Webster Hamilton. Billy, as they call him. I like to think of him as Billy the Kid, because he's just very mean looking, but they finally found him. The guy's been on the lam, if you will, and they finally found him down in Florida. Somebody tipped off the police down in Sebring, Florida, that he was at their house or at somebody's house locally. So they went and they got him arrested. William Webster Hamilton is in jail, and they all should be shot. Allegedly.
Okay, first of all, when you have the name William Webster Billy Hamilton, you know you're going to jail at some point. Just that name, William Webster Hamilton, sounds like a criminal. I mean, it just sounds like a criminal.
They always give serial killers three names. I mean, it's never like Bill Hamilton. No, it's William Webster Billy Hamilton.
Exactly.
Like J.C. Ray Jackson and who's the Unabomber. They always give everybody three names. So basically, you're a really bad person if the news uses your middle name. That means you're really bad. You are really bad, and you're going to jail for a long time. So that's the story. So, you know, they're in jail. And you're exactly right, Glenn. William Webster Billy Hamilton. What a name. Bad.
Hey, while
bad.
You were doing that, I looked. Do you have another one?
I've got one more news story for you,
okay.
And it's just a very happy story. And actually, I'd love to play this for her. Claire Lomas is just an absolutely amazing woman. Claire Lomas was paralyzed from the chest down in 2007 when she was riding her horse and she collided with a tree on cross country. And she's British. And since her injury, she has become the first person in Britain to receive a robotic suit that has allowed her to walk again. And she decided what she was going to do to raise money for spinal research was to complete the London Marathon. Okay, this woman is paralyzed. She cannot move from the chest down. She has a robotic suit that allows her to walk, and she decides to walk 26.2 or whatever miles to raise money. She raised over 86,000 pounds for spinal research. I don't know what that is in American, but it's probably a lot more in American dollars. And she began the marathon with the rest of the competitors on April 27th. Guess how long it took her? And she did it. 16 days to finish the marathon.
Wow.
And yeah, but she did it, you know, and lots of different horse people came out and walked with her, and including Peter Adkins, who we talked to, you know, a couple weeks ago before he broke his leg. So he's hobbling on crutches. She's on crutches. They walked the freaking marathon together. So believe it or not, they would not honor her. They would not give her a course completion for the London Marathon because she was 16 days after the time limit, but she will be honored with this year's Virgin Trophy for her endurance. So congratulations to Claire. If you want to see the full story, you can go to Horse and Hound and see it there. But, oh, my God, she's just an awesome, awesome person and so tough. And these inventors are so tough. So that's why she gets an extra super special daily winning.
There you go. Well, I got to tell you, I had some crappy lists prepared for today, but we'll have to postpone those till next week. We'll get to our first guest here in a minute. But while you were talking, I looked up six rich and famous celebrities who never completed high school. So some of these are going to surprise you and some aren't. How about Paris Hilton? She apparently dropped out of high school, Manhattan High School. She attended up to her junior year. But she apparently did eventually go on years later to earn her GED. So I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. Avril Lavigne was a music, you know, is it Avril?
Yeah.
Okay. She reportedly have dropped out of Nepease District High School in Ontario, Canada in the 11th grade after getting her recording contract. She says she went back and got her GED, although apparently, according to this article, there's not a lot of proof of that. Jessica Simpson, but the music stars don't finish high school. During her years in high school, she was nominated.
I was just going to say about Avril Lavigne, she had that song Complicated. Why you gotta make everything so complicated? She had that song, and it became such a huge, huge, huge smash hit that she was touring. I mean, she came to the radio station and she was like 15 or something and was just this tough skater chick, like just so tough. She quit and they all seem to do that. And then, you know, now she's trying to desperately to get a hit song. So I wish these guys would, stay in school, kids, stay in school.
Jessica Simpson, another one. Apparently, she was nominated as homecoming queen 2 years in a row, was a cheerleader, and despite all of that, she dropped out of high school in her senior year to further her music career, and they said that she also went on to get her GED, apparently, eventually. Here's one that I was surprised at, actually. Hilary Swank, the actress?
Really?
She was a high school dropout. When she was asked why she chose to drop out of school, she was quick to reply that she didn't like the rules, and she was often cited for talking excessively in class. So I guess she's in the right job now.
Yeah, no kidding. But she became a superstar way young, too. So.
And she is the most beautiful woman. Oh, my God. Let me read this last sentence. Don't you love this? Do as I say, not as I do. She did emphasize her belief in the importance of education and claims she would encourage her kids to stay in school. So there you go.
Yeah.
I didn't, but you should. Britney Spears never finished high school. But no surprise there, I don't think. She went to Kentwood High School in Louisiana before dropping out to make it big in the music world. It is unclear by anybody whether she earned her GED. And I don't think that's any big surprise to anybody. And then the last one, you're not going to be surprised at, that she didn't finish high school and did not earn her GED, because she's never sober enough to try and go show up to take the test. And that's Lindsay Lohan, never finished high school. She went to Calhoun High School on Long Island and quit in the 11th grade.
Wow.
So there you go.
If you make it to the 11th grade, come on. Just finish. I graduated high school in the 11th grade because I went to summer school to get ahead. I hated school that much. So you don't have to drop. Never quitting never even was an option. My daddy would have killed me.
Most of them get tutors anyway. I mean, all you have to do is have your tutor show up and actually do what your tutor asks you to do, which can't be as hard as in high school to begin with, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, stay in school, girls, even though these people have millions of dollars.
All right, we're going to take I got to tell you about Audible.com, and then we're going to come back with first of a two-part series we did on professionally moving your horse. What's involved with that? What are the things you have to look out for? What are the pluses and minuses? We had hurt by pulled by a jeep. Be long. 12 hours, and we just didn't want Beaker to be locked up in a little two-horse trailer for 11 to 12 hours, and thank God we didn't, because that trip down here, thanks to the traffic in Jamie's old home state, was awful, and it took us 17 hours to get here, so thank God he wasn't in the trailer for that long a period of time. So that's why we were so happy that we had our horse professionally moved. But it was the first time that we've had a horse professionally hauled, and we thought, well, you know what? That probably most people haven't ever had their horse professionally hauled. So we got the owner of Sally Horse Vans on. Her name is Nicole, to talk to us about that. We're going to start a two-part series today. You'll hear the second part next week. But first, I've got to talk to you about Audible.com. If you like podcasts, if you like listening to shows on your iPod or your MP3 player or in your car or whatever, on your smartphone, then you're going to love Audible.com. It is the place to get over 100,000 books they have now recorded, and you can listen to all of these books. It makes it exciting. The readers are excellent. I just did Hunger Games, Jamie, and finished that on the trip to Lexington and back. And then I had to go see the movie. So, because the book was so good, and of course the movie doesn't get into the great detail the book does, but the reader, the woman who does the reading for Hunger Games, is excellent. And so I had to do the other two. Now I started listening to this as a trilogy, and I started listening to the second one. But Jennifer and I have listened to over 100 different books at Audible since we've been involved with them in the early 2000s. Like 2001 we joined Audible. And they have over 500 different devices that you can download these books to and listen. So after you're done listening to Horses in the Morning and the other Horse Radio Network shows, you can listen to a book. So if you got a lot of stalls to clean and our shows just don't cut it and get you through the day, then Audible is the way to go. It's affordable, it's easy to do, and it's fun. And we are going to give you now, because you're a listener to Horse Radio Network, a free book and a free month to give it a try. So go to audibletrial.com/HRN, audibletrial.com/HRN, or go to our website and click on the banner, and you'll get a free book to give it a try. And you can if you want to listen to Hunger Games, you can listen to it. You know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun, but I like sci-fi kind of books. So take a listen to anything you want to listen to at audible.com. Well, all right, now it's time for our series on professionally hauling. So here is a little interview that Jennifer and I did with Nicole, who is the president of Sally Horse Vans Incorporated out of Lexington, Kentucky. Well, this is Glenda Geach here, and I'm here with Coach Jen, and we're talking to Nicole. We're doing a series of a couple of shows on hauling your horse professionally. I think a lot more people are like Jennifer and I, who've been in this horse business for 30 years, and a lot of our clients have hauled their horses professionally, but we never had before.
No, we were the people who did the hauling. We'd go, you know, trek horses all over the countryside, but on this big trip from Lexington, Kentucky to Ocala, Florida, we decided to take a step out and have Sally Horse Vans move Beaker for us.
Yes, and we chose Sally because they have a terrific reputation. First of all, when you're driving around Lexington, Kentucky, you see about 1,000 of them every day.
They're like bees.
Yeah, they're all over the place. And then we also had been using Sally for the maintenance on our horse trailer.
That's right. They do maintenance there.
And they were so nice and so friendly and so helpful. We just said, that's it. We just have to use Sally. And who we have on here with us today is Nicole, who you're president of Sally, right?
President and owner of Sally, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you actually started it?
No, I didn't start it. My grandfather and grandmother purchased two or three small of trucks from Mr. Sally, who worked on the starting gate at Keeneland, and he fueled his trucks up at a little gas station that they had as a family store, and he decided he wanted to get out of that, and my grandfather, being a welder in the Army, designed the 15-horse trailer, but never really thought to patent it, and over the span of four decades, my grandmother, uncle, and mother grew the business to a fleet of about 70 trucks. Spanning service throughout North America.
What a story. A 15-horse trailer? Back then? Wow.
So about 6 years ago, my grandmother was wanting to slow down a little bit, and my uncle was wanting to retire, and I purchased the company for my family, and we're growing and have a fleet of over 80 trucks and a strong team of dedicated horsemen and horsewomen.
Well, it was a pleasure, certainly, to deal with you guys in moving our horse, because we didn't know much about hauling professionally, and we're going to, over this next two-part series, we're going to talk a lot about that and hopefully answer a lot of the questions that the listeners might have that are thinking that maybe this is an option to haul their horse for some distance, whether it's for a show or moving like we did.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting. I always wondered how Sally got the name, because it wasn't your name, and I didn't know how it got the name Sally.
And it's Sally. Yeah. It's not
Sally.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Sally is who had started it, just with a couple of small trucks doing breeding trips around Kentucky.
So describe the hauling process for us. You know, I know what we did, but if somebody, you know, the average person that's not really, you know, a professional trainer or anything like that wants to move their horse, what do they do? What's the process?
Process would be that they would give our office a call. We have an office in Lexington and Lexington, Kentucky, and an office in Ocala, Florida. If they'll call the office and let us know where they're needing to ship their horse, we've got trained, knowledgeable horsemen and women that work in the office that will sort of guide you through that process. You'll be given options that best fit with your schedule and geographic area where you need to transport your horse. But you can say, I need to move around the end of the month, and we can call you with options of, you know, when we have trucks going to that area.
Now, is this anywhere in the country, or is it limited to the two locations you just talked about?
Well, we're predominantly, most of our traffic is east of the Mississippi, covering the U.S. and up into Canada. But certainly if you have horses that you need to send anywhere in the country and you wanted to charter or order a special truck to take your horse somewhere, we'll go anywhere in North America, but not always would we have trips that would go just everywhere. We try to stick with things that are most direct routes that will keep everybody's horses on the truck as least as possible.
So it's a little bit like chartering a bus or chartering a small airplane, in that if you have an entire stable's worth, which is all too common in this day and age, that show stables move from place to place throughout the country in order to stay with the show circuit, to call up Sally Vans. I have 9 horses that need to go from New York State to Tennessee during the month of August. That's something that they can call you guys up and make arrangements, because that's basically a kind of a truckload, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. If you are wanting to charter or order a special truck for just your horses, you call us and tell us what day and time you'd like to do that, and we'll be glad to take care of you. Another thing that people may ask is, when they're transporting their horse, what kind of stall space would you prefer? And I like to think of it just like if you were flying on the airlines. You've got your economy, coach, and first class. And
the economy's up with the driver.
If you look at the width of the trailer, three abreast or three across would be single stall, and that would be your most economical way. But that does not, for a larger horse, provide them a lot of room to move from side to side, and they are cross-tied at that point.
It's like a standing stall?
It's a standing stall.
Okay.
And now in size, that's probably really similar to what you would typically see in your average two- or four-horse horse trailer that we're all familiar
with. That would be very similar to those size. What's more common would be two abreast or two standing side-by-side, and that I sort of simulate to being coach. And that's very common, but they still are cross-tied in a standing stall. And then what is actually best and been proven through a lot of research with UC Davis and other universities about transportation, the most stressful part on a horse is not having free range of motion for their head and being able to eat naturally off the ground and that kind of thing. So first class or a box stall that simulates home with a hay net or hay on the ground and then water buckets hung is really the best way to go if it fits into someone's budget.
Right. And
anybody could go to our website and see these configurations so that they get a better idea of what those stall spaces look like.
Now, in your big trucks like that, how many stalls are there? How many horses can you haul in a big truck?
Well, depending on configuration, if you were doing stall and a half, you're looking at 10 to 11 horses on a truck. And if you were doing all box stalls, you would do 6 or 7.
So you can actually change the configuration based on what you're doing that day?
Absolutely. We can change every configuration based on the customer's request.
Oh, it's really cool. It's like a giant erector set inside of those vans. They're fascinating. I've gotten to ride in them when I work for breeding farms, and it's just fascinating how you've designed those things to be so incredibly flexible yet incredibly durable.
Well, that's something that we really take great pride in is our trailers. We build all of our trailers from scratch here at our facility and build them from the steel up. And, you know, there's a lot of different trailers that are made out there, but ours being a steel frame configuration, and we put a lot of thought into safety features so that in the instant that there would be a situation on the highway that you always have multiple access to your horse if there were to be a problem.
And, you know, we were at your shop there, and they gave us a little bit of a tour, and they were actually building one of the trailers. And I was shocked to learn that. I just thought, you go out and buy, you know, you guys go out and
go
buy
the horse van store,
you go,
and buy
a
horse van.
Horse trailers are us, and, you know, you buy one. But you guys build them, and it was fascinating to see. There were two of them there that were in the process of being built at different stages, it is like a bigger erector set.
It is, and we feel very confident about what the product that we build, and we, you know, there's certainly opportunities to go out and buy horse vans or horse trailers from other people, but we do feel like our construction and our setup is probably the safest and most superior in the industry.
And for people who have not had the opportunity to be inside of these big coaches that are pulled by tractor trailers, another significant difference, which they'll probably see when they look at the photographs on your website, not only is the stall configuration varied, you can have what we would call a regular horse trailer size stall or kind of an extra large horse trailer size stall or a box stall, because it's a very large vehicle, there is a lot of air space in there. So the air quality inside those vans, very different than what you're going to experience in your typical gooseneck-type horse trailer that a horse might be hauled in.
Yes, that's very important in transportation because airflow and air quality with the horses so that they don't get hot, and we have ways with the multiple windows that we have to regulate that depending on the climate and the temperature at different times of the year, but airflow is just one of the most important things in keeping your horse healthy on long transports.
Wow. So how How do you tell? So if I'm ready to haul my horse, and I want to find a horse hauler, and, you know, we happen to know you guys because we lived right there and we dealt with you. But if I don't know anybody, how do I tell if a horse hauler is reputable and professional? Let me give you an example. We had a horse that was hauled from our barn when we had it back, our big farm up in Pennsylvania.
A client's horse.
It was a client's horse, sorry. And she hired this local company out of North Carolina to haul her horse because she was moving to North Carolina. The lady shows up with the truck and the trailer, and the police were behind her when they pulled into our farm, the local police. Well, the police said, well, her tags are out of date, and they found about 20 violations that this lady had. And then, so the sheep takes the horse and leaves and I guess gets all the fines, and we find out about 2 weeks later from our client that was moving that they had all been arrested and that there had been the police had raided the place because they were hauling drugs in the floors of the horse trailers. So the reason I told that story, one, is it's unusual, and two is you got to be careful who you're dealing with, don't you?
You absolutely do, you know, especially in this day and time where people are very cost conscious. They're often looking to find the cheapest route, and the cheapest route is not always the best route. There's a lot of people that go and buy a truck and a trailer and put themselves in business and do things at a very low-cost rate, but they're not running with proper authority. They're not licensed with the Department of Transportation. That would be one thing somebody should look for is, do they have a DOT number and is it visible on their truck and trailer? Ask them if they have liability insurance and cargo insurance.
So that's a good question. So if our horse had been hurt or, God forbid, had died or something on the way for whatever reason, an accident or whatever happened, is it your insurance then? Do your insurance cover that, or how's that work?
Well, typically what happens with most commercial carriers is they have cargo insurance, but all horses are basically valued at indicated rate on the bill of lading for every transportation company, and that varies from company to company, but it ranges from probably $1,000 to $5,000 value on that bill of lading. And by valuing your horse at designated value, that provides you an economical rate of shipping. If you were to want to value your horse at a higher value, then you can either do that through the transportation company, which would increase your shipping costs substantially, or you can go out and get actual transportation riders on your mortality policy that you have may or may not have with your horse. And that's really the most economical way somebody could protect themselves through shipping.
Well, so you just call your insurance agent, who's taking care of your horse insurance anyway, and say, hey, I'm going to be have my horse transported by Sally Horse Vans, and I want to put a rider on there to make sure that my $50,000 show horse has sufficient insurance so that I can, and that's going to be more economical than you guys creating
Absolutely.
The process through your company.
Absolutely.
Got it. That makes sense.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know. The Beaker was worth $1 million, but we didn't tell you.
There we go. You know what? There's no value on your special friend, is there?
That's right. That's right. There. You cannot put a value on the equine friendship. You cannot.
Well,
but back to selecting a potential carrier, it's really important, especially with a lot of people that are running just truck and trailers without having proper authority, to ask the right questions. A good resource is to go to the National Horse Carriers Association website. All of the carriers that are in there have strict guidelines and requirements to become a member, and they have to have the proper authority.
National Horse Carriers Association.
Association, yes.
Wow, didn't even know such a thing existed.
I didn't either.
This lady is chock-a-block full of fascinating stuff. Okay, go ahead.
But, you know, ask about their insurance. If the trip's going to be a trip over 11 hours, make sure that they have two drivers on board. By law, a driver can't drive over 11 hours. So just making sure that they're doing all the legal things that are right, because you wouldn't want your horse on a truck and the Department of Transportation shutting bootlegger.
Right.
Or in this truck and trailer down with your
case,
horse on
the state police showing up with arrest warrants.
Well, and if I remember right, the state police let her go on her way because she had a load of horses,
And they don't have to.
The policeman, being very familiar with horses, was keenly aware that if he charged this lady with all these violations, those horses would have been stuck in that van, which would have been very bad for the horses. Those horses just got very lucky in that he just, you know, wrote her a bunch of tickets and sent her on her way so that the horses wouldn't have to do that. But that's certainly not a risk that you would want to take. You would want to check out your hauler.
Right, because more often than not, the state police or the DOT would err on caution for if this person could be tired, they could fall asleep at the wheel and injure someone else. So they would err on caution of that person not being licensed and legal, so they could shut the truck down with your horses on it.
The DOT is not somebody you want to fool with.
It is not. But, you know, the best thing you can do is ask for references from your friends. You know, people that have had good transportation experiences with companies, that word of mouth is really your best friend as far as finding a reputable and professional horse hauler.
Well, I got to tell you, we the driver who came in with the horse, he was a super nice guy. And he said, I guess he's been working for you guys for 4 or 5 years. And we have a quarter horse who's very quiet. And he said, I got to tell you, your horse was a dream. I guess when you're hauling two-year-old thoroughbreds around,
there's a lot
and
of
you
winning.
Get a nice quiet quarter horse in there, it's nice to have a nice quiet quarter horse every once in a while.
It is nice.
So we're, in the next part, we're going to answer a lot more questions that we had along the way. But one more question for this part. We answered, you know, what happens if a horse is injured in transport. And if something like that does happen, do you call the owner immediately if something happens? Because horses are always getting hurt. I mean, that just is a
way. Well, horses do decide every day how they're going to hurt themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It's their mission to hurt
themselves. It is their mission.
Yeah.
What would happen is if a horse were to injure itself in transit, the driver would call our office and they're directed to actually speak to me, and we discuss, is it a scrape on the face, or is it something that needs attention immediately, or would it be best to get it to its final destination? We make that judgment call, and we let the owner know in advance that this is the situation. And if it's a situation on a judgment call on if it needed veterinarian care, we'd let the owner make that call. But, you know, for the most part, we're very fortunate that that doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. Well, we have a lot more questions for you that we're going to do in part two of this series. We're going to have Nicole back to answer some more of these questions as well. Thank you again for hauling our horse safely, and we'll talk to you again soon with part two.
And Glenn, good job, you guys. Can't wait to hear a little bit more about it. I mean, it's...
Glenn's gone. Glenn. He's over there talking to himself again.
Is he? Oh, bless his little heart. So just a little bit of an update for you. The horse that beat Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup, I ask our listeners to post it online. The first person would get a gold star. Well, Sumiko posted it at the exact, almost the exact same time as Yudi Shepherd did. So Blame beat Zenyatta, and it was like a second ahead of her is when Sumiko hit the enter button. So they both win a gold star for the day. Do you remember now, Jennifer, the horse named Blame?
Yeah, see, I never liked that horse. Dumb name. Didn't, yeah.
I hate him. I hate that horse. Everything about him. Yeah, so that was the worst. So thank you guys for getting back together with us. And I think Glenn's back. You there?
I'm here, I think. I thought I was there before.
You are.
I was talking to myself. Apparently. So can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead and do. We're gonna do the song. Okay. Time for the song.
Great. What song are we doing? I've totally lost my train of thought. It's totally gone. To find my show notes. I don't even know what song we're doing. Oh, we're doing There Is a Little Cowboy in All of Us by Dan Roberts. That's the song we're doing. And maybe I can figure out what's going on here during the song and come back and be a little more organized.
I'm saddling up, but my pony won't stand. He's backed in the corner and he's kicking the wall. But since Mom moved that toy box, he's a little too tall. With his boots on the wrong feet, his holster tied low, saddle bag saddle and a blankie bed roll. A little toy rifle he made from a broom, he'll ride across the prairie right there in his room. And in his mind he's out driving a herd toward the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'd love to ride with him, but that pony might bust, 'cause there's a little cowboy in all of us. I said, son, where are you headed? He answered, out west. Well, there's word they need riders on the Pony Express. Hey, I might be a scout, Dad, or a sheriff on TV. Any outfit could use a top hand like me. Well, I told him, be careful, don't tie hard and fast. Take a deep seat if you're riding into the past. He said, I'll be back by supper, bedtime at most. He grabbed the reins, pulled his hat down, and he waved adios. And in his mind he's out driving a herd toward the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'd love to ride with him, go stir up some dust. There's a little cowboy in all of us. You know, as I step from his world back into my own, I thought, we're no different. He might be little and I'm grown, but we both dream about places that neither one of us have ever been. Heck, I'm 44. I'm still playing pretend. I wish I was out driving a herd for the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'll bury my new spurs in the ground till they rust. There's not a little cowboy in all of us. Just a little cowboy in all of us.
That is Dan Roberts, the cowboy and all of us. And you're listening to the Horse Radio Network's Horses in the Morning. I am Jamie Jennings here with Glenda Geek and the birthday girl, Jennifer. Happy birthday. And whether she likes it or not, I'm just going to keep saying it the whole show because it makes her uncomfortable and it makes her mad. And it is now that time, Glenn.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
This may ruin Glenn's lunch in a different way, and I'll tell you why. Because today we're talking about obesity. Have a salad, Glenn. Have a salad. Seriously.
Hey, I lost 15 pounds since I moved to Ocala. 15.
Real? Did you do that on purpose or just stress?
I think you know what it is. No, you know what I think it is. I think I'm actually getting off my chair out of the office and doing stuff outside now that we live on this little farm.
Well, that's the way to do it. I wish I lost weight on my farm. Haven't yet. I'll let you know.
Okay, you have to do it. Challenge, Jamie. Challenge.
Exactly. Salad. We've got with us Michelle Anderson from The Horse. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I think it's probably the lack of hot browns in Florida. Do they have those down there?
That's probably true. Yeah, there's not as much of that big, heavy southern cooking down here as there was in Lexington.
No. Now, we've also got Dr. Jones with us from Florida Equine. Dr. Jones, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. We have to remember there's lots of fish down here, too, and fish is good for the diet to keep weight down.
I'm a vegetarian. I'm screwed.
Yep, well, can't help you there.
And I'm in the middle of the desert, so you guys enjoy your fish. I'm going to have, you know, rattlesnake or something.
Rattlesnake.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about obese horses. And, you know, this really rings true for a lot of people because, my God, people think that, you know, they love their horses too much. Do you run into that, Dr. Jones?
Oh, yeah, they kill them with kindness. And actually, once you point out, because, of course, you know, I'm not called out because their horse is healthy. I wish that was more common. I called out because there's a problem. And I'm looking at the horse saying, if you would cut back on the feet a little bit, we might not have some of these problems. And they're like, you mean I'm killing him with kindness? And they actually, you know, say those words. And I said, yes, you are. So, yeah, that happens.
Yeah,
and, and more specifically today, you know, besides the horses being overweight, we're going to talk about what causes them to be overweight, especially this time of year. In the most recent issue, the May issue of The Horse, we have an article on summer grazing. Summer grass is coming on, and it's, you know, our horses can, the weight can creep up on them or on us pretty quickly with the summer grass coming on, unless you live in the desert like I do, and then our horses don't see fresh grass as much as they would like. But Dr. Jones, you know, why are horses more likely to gain weight on these early summer pastures that we're starting to see?
Well, you know, the spring grasses have the higher sugar contents and starch contents in them, and because they're new growth, and that's what a lot of people don't quite 100% understand is that the new growth, which is at the very base of your grass, is the most nutrient-based area of the grass for the horse to eat. So you got this big, let's say you buy property and you've got a pasture that's just high as the horse's knees or your knees, and you're thinking, oh, look at this great pasture, they're going to eat it, and they don't actually eat that pasture down. They go to an area where the grass is the shortest, and they eat that down to nothing, and you're like, why? It's because that tall grass has lost a lot of its nutrient base and a lot of its flavor, and the horses like to go for that more nutritious, smaller grass that's right down close to the ground. And so with spring coming in, you get that small start of burst of energy of the grass and pasture coming in, and that's where they're going to get their highest nutrient base.
Yeah, you know, on my property, we're in the desert, but we have this one small area where we do get some grass, a little extra water ends up in that area when we water the lawn, and so we graze the horses there, and they never want to help me mow it and eat the tall stuff. They always go for the new fresh stuff and rip it up by the roots, which is not what I want them to do. But that's tasting better for them, and they want to eat that. But what are some of the issues that eating this high sugar content grass or just, you know, getting fatter in these early months, what kind of issues is that going to cause for our horses?
Well, of course, you know, you have those horses that are going to be the easy keepers, as we call them, the ones that can live on air, that don't really need much to graze on. And those,
that's sort of like me. I'm an easy keeper, too.
Yeah. So they're the ones that are going to be more affected by the starches and the sugars in the pasture. So for those horses, you'll either have to limit their time in the pasture, limit how much they intake on that pasture, or maybe even as easy as feeding them during certain times of the days where those starches and sugars are at their lowest point, which is, you know, through the evening and late hours of the day. So you just kind of have to tailor it to your individual horse. And, you know, you're talking about how do we know if our horse is going to be putting on too much weight too fast. And I always tell people the weight tape is not an accurate weight of a horse because you got to take in their bone density and size, but it's pretty darn helpful for all of us at the farm to just wrap that weight tape around them once a month or once every 3 weeks during the early season and write it on a calendar. You've got to write it down, and everybody should have a calendar in their barn anyway. Write it on the calendar and say, on this date, horse X was this amount, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, take it again and see if there's an increase. Because your eyes will see the increase too, but it'd be a little bit more accurate if you can actually see a big increase or not any at all.
You know, Dr. Jones, though, it's just like us, though, too. It's just like humans. What you're talking about using the weight tape, well, there's something that a lot of these riders use almost all the time, and that's a girth. It's just like our belt. I judge my weight gain and loss by the holes in my belt, and you can do the same thing with your girth.
Absolutely. That's another good way. But some of these horses are pasture pets and maybe ridden once
a
month.
That's true.
So if they're not riding on a daily basis or weekly even basis every weekend, they might have to do the weight tape.
Yeah.
So let's say that girth is getting a little bit looser. What kind of issues is that possibly going to cause for your horse? I know people are concerned on the early grasses about laminitis. Are there any other things that your horse being overweight, might cause?
Well, yeah. I mean, laminitis is the number one concern, and that actually is not – okay, they're getting fat, and thus they're going to get laminitis. We see a lot of fat horses don't have laminitis, so you can't just equivalate that. It's what's going on inside their body, so their metabolism is not able to take care of those sugar, starches, and fructans that they're ingesting through the grass properly and moving them through the system properly. They tend to get stored up and cause this cascading effect that does cause laminitis, and we don't need to get into that today. But the other things you have to be concerned about is, let's say an aged horse, they have a little bit of arthritis like we do as we all get older. Getting around with that extra weight is a little bit harder on those horses, so you want to consider that issue. Other health issues when you have these insulin-resistant horses, which is part of the cascading effect of the laminitis, is those insulin-resistant horses are similar to diabetics in the fact that they're going to be more prone to diseases, hoof abscesses, respiratory problems, things like that. So you've got a multiple factor issue when you do have a very heavy, heavy horse. And, of course, then you've got the concerns of lipomas or colics on your older horses that are heavy.
So you mentioned the weight tape. Glenn mentioned the girth. Are there any other tools horse owners can use to monitor the weight of their horses?
I also think, besides the weight tape, a body condition score of your horse is very pertinent. We, in our wellness program, we have a body condition score as part of our exam, and we see the horses twice a year. So we do an exam twice a year and put the body condition score. So hopefully we kind of nip that in the bud if we tend to see them getting a little too heavy. But the body condition score is huge. I did have a laminitis horse come into my practice a few years ago, and she said, "My horse is so skinny, I've been putting the food to it." She took the sheet off the horse, and this horse was grotesquely overweight in the fat pockets area, but you could still see its ribs. All she was doing was looking at the ribs. She did not notice the huge crusty neck on this little tiny gelding and the huge fat deposits above the tail head and the huge fat deposits behind the shoulder. She didn't see all that. She just saw the ribs were lacking and felt that her horse was skinny and needed more pounds put on. That poor horse, went down the insulin-resistant road quickly and laminitis quickly.
So now, what do you do with that, though? Michelle, I'm sorry, what do you do about a horse like that? I mean, you're feeding it and feeding it, trying to cover the ribs, and then obviously, she needed to look at her horse, but how do you disperse the weight to make the horse look better, or is it just something that they're going to, that's just the way their body is?
It's partly the way their body is. She does ride this horse often. She's a dressage rider, and she rides around 4 or 5 times a day, four times a week. And this horse was getting fit, but it was going to probably naturally have more than just a few ribs hanging for an athletic horse. It's going to be covered up by the saddle, so it's not a big deal when you go show. People are going to turn you in to the local authorities because you're starving your horse. But to you, it's going to be an uncomfortable feeling looking at that horse, but that is a much more healthier state for that horse.
And now the dressage riders love fat horses. Oh,
absolutely love.
And we've talked a little bit about you know, I'm a dressage rider, but, you know, I find that I have a hard time judging my own horse's weight. And, you know, my vet came out recently for my spring exams, and he looked at my horses in their paddocks and said, oh, well, it doesn't look like they're having an eating problem. And so I think they look quite well.
That's like telling your wife, did your butt get bigger?
I think he is being subtle, you know, and I really don't believe I keep my horses on the heavier side. I think they're very fit and lean. You know, hay is expensive around here. I don't want to, you know, throw money at them. But, you know, how can the horse owner best judge their horse's weight? Are there any suggestions for that, just being objective? Dr. Jones?
I think we lost Dr. Jones, actually.
Oh.
He just, Jennifer will try and get her back.
Gone. So, well,
Jennifer will try and get her back.
So,
I'm going to answer your question. I'll answer your question.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
You wanted to know how to objectively look at your horse and decide whether they are fat or not. Now, here's the problem. Do you have your horse at your house?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, that's the problem is you stare at them every single day, but what you need is an outside person that is actually, you know, somebody that, well, like, I'm sorry, I keep my horses very lean. They're event horses, you know, my lesson ponies are fat, but my personal event horse, I keep pretty lean, and I, you know, I'm constantly working on trying to add weight to him because he's a thoroughbred. But I think you need an outside person to come every once in a while, like your vet, to look at him and go, oh my God, dude, this is horrible. Your horse is so fat. Dr. Jones, yeah, the question was, how do you objectively look at your own horse?
That's a good question. I have the luxury of a vet assistant that can also come in and step in and say, yeah, I agree or I disagree. So I do. I actually do ask another professional or another person to give me their opinion. And I think it's helpful. It's like the idea of going to the gym. You're not going to go to the gym alone. Sometimes you need a friend to encourage you to go. I think you need a friend to encourage you to cut back on the food or add more grain.
So
with my own horses, I have one that's a super hard keeper who takes a lot of fuel, and then I have my warm blood who is a really, really easy keeper. When I got him, he was actually on the edge of obese, and he barely gets anything, and the quarter horse gets this huge pile of hay, and the warm blood has to watch him eat, and it's very sad. So I struggle with that because, you know, the quarter horse needs to eat several times a day, big meals, and the warm blood doesn't seem to need so much. How can owners like me with these easy keepers keep that digestive tract moving in their horses and keep the hay in front of them without them, or pasture, without them getting overweight?
Good question.
That is a fantastic question because, as you know, horses naturally are grazers all day long. So for them to continue to graze and keep busy is what's necessary for their mindset. And there are some options that you can do. And, of course, the newest thing, or not newest, but the most common thing that people do is put muzzles on these horses. And I'm sure some of the people out there listening right now are going, oh, my God, that's so horrible to do that for the horse. But if you look at the alternative, which is laminitis or some sort of hoof abscesses, one right after the other, or other problems that they may run down the line of having, the muzzle is not that bad. They still can eat. They just don't take in large quantities in one mouthful, and they are getting the satisfaction of grazing all day, which is a mental stabling type thing. The other possibility is your quality of your hays and your forages makes a big deal, too. So maybe you're doing alfalfa for everybody and you need to back off on the alfalfa and try something with a little less bang to it. But you do still have to balance their diet with, you know, a good hay and grain a couple times a day. We have coastal hay here in Florida. I'm not a huge fan of it, but the coastal hay is in the pastures, which my pastures are full of coastal hay. It doesn't provide a whole lot of nutrient base for the horse. It has some nutrient base, but if I, like my old mare that used to be here, she would have alfalfa or a TNA added to her diet in the morning and the evenings when she was in her stall. so that she could get a little bit better nutrient base, because the hay that's out in my pasture was decent, but it wasn't as great as a good grass hay like an Orchard or a Tifton 44, which is in this area. Then the other thing you have to consider is possibly feeding them in smaller amounts, or have them consume smaller amounts of hay. There are certain bags, hay bags, that are structured so they can take smaller bites of hay, and they make that flake or two last throughout the day. There is, these companies have made these boxes that you can put hay flakes in that have little slits where the nose can fit in just to take small bites of the hay, and it's on a spring-loaded, and it releases small bites of hay throughout the day for them, for those like in a stall or in the evenings if you want the hay to last for the evening. There's those kind of options where they have to kind of fish for that big bite of hay, but they're still getting the hay, they're still getting the satisfaction of grazing, they're just taking it in smaller quantities.
Now, I've been looking into using the nets, the hay nets, the slow-feed hay nets with the tiny little holes in them for my warm blood. And yesterday when we were talking, Dr. Jones, you know, for me, I worry about him getting his shoe caught in it, because he's kind you know, he likes to mess with things. And I also want his head down, for me, I want his head down when he's eating and not eating from up high. So you had a trick that you had heard of.
And it's amazing what the clients will come up to, and I love listening to the clients' ideas, because sometimes I look so smart when I walk to the next client and say, this is what you should do. But, you know, I steal from my clients, just, you know, I'll admit it right now. But they, this one client had taken the hay net, which is, you know, a concern to veterinarians and horse owners that horses will paw and get their leg caught in the hay net. And some horses have actually eaten hay nets. But they put the hay net inside this other hay bag that had a small hole in the center, which I think we all know what that one looks like. And so it made those net pieces cross that hole so they couldn't put their entire mouth through the center of the hole, grab a big bite. They would have to pick around the nylon cord of that hay net and take smaller bites of the hay. So stuff like that, just some ingenious way of getting them to take smaller bites of hay, but still get hay out of whatever contraption you make, is what's best.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that sounded super smart. I think that that might be one I might try with Marathon, because, like I said, he likes to eat, but he does need to get slowed down a little bit. So are there any issues health-wise? Any risks with cutting back on calories and forage to try to take weight off too fast off your horse?
Well, there's other products out there that we've used, medicine, prescription diet, or not prescription diet, sorry, prescriptions that we've used to help horses reduce the weight. But when they get to that significant condition, like the one that walked into our clinic, laminitic with the big fat crusty neck and the fat pads in the back, the faster you get it off, the better, because that fat deposits are causing the big problems. And then after that, maintaining them is the key. So I don't think there's any risk to getting the fat off the horses. It's if you go the other direction and you have them too thin, then you have those kind of risks of immune system risk like you would with the overweight horse. So your goal is a body condition score of a 5 is what you want your horse to. And believe it or not, most of the time my horses that are heavy, it's because they're weekend warriors and they're ridden maybe once a month. They're just not, and they love their animals and they love their pet and they overfeed them and they're feeding extra treats and maybe some extra of that alfalfa hay to that horse when they go out and visit with them at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And they probably really don't need it at that time. They probably just need to rest, take the night off, and then they can start eating their hay or grass the next day. So riding them more, and that's what I love telling my clients, I have to give you a prescription that tells you you have to ride your horse more. Isn't that horrible?
And I, you know, I ride mine, you know, 5 days a week pretty intensely, and I can't imagine what he would look like if he didn't get ridden.
Absolutely.
So I guess I better keep at it. So, but you mentioned the body condition scoring on thehorse.com. We have a body condition score chart that can help owners out doing that to recognize the signs that maybe their horse is getting a little too chubby. We also have a video on there. If you go into the search bar, when you go to thehorse.com and search for body score, it comes right up at the top. A video will take you through how to objectively look at your horse and score it with a body condition scoring chart. And then we also put the chart up on Facebook. So if you go to our Facebook page, it's right up there with this morning's posting. So.
And I'm going to ask for one more thing. Would you mind putting up the Dairy One Forage Labs phone number? So people could look into that. The reason for that is people can test their hay and their pastures at this forage lab, and they can let them know how high the starches, sugars, and fructans are in that pasture or in that hay, and they can start tailoring those very overweight horses to better times of the day to graze or maybe change up your hay a little bit or minimize how much hay they take. And I highly recommend people look into that too.
Okay. Yeah, that grass is sometimes a little bit like candy. At least that's what my horses think. Well, thank you.
You guys, thank you very much for coming on and talking about this. I certainly hope that I certainly hope that Glenn, were you paying attention?
What was that again? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I was having technical difficulties here and. Actually, Beaker's looking really good because, you know, he's not getting that Kentucky green grass all the time now. He doesn't have to have his muzzle on, and he's just getting hay here. And now he looks terrific, and now I can think I can feed him extra, and Jennifer won't even notice.
Oh, boy. My little green patch that I have, I have it fenced off, and I started my horses out 20 minutes a day, and I worked them up to an hour a day, and within a week, they started looking even fat to me. So it's really, that grass really does something. It's something else.
It's Snickers bars, I'm telling you, between the green grass and out here in Arizona in the desert, they grow this alfalfa that... Oh, my
gosh.
Gorgeous.
It
is to die for.
Oh, my God. It's gorgeous. Oh. It gets shipped here. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it comes from the west. And it gets shipped to the east. I remember seeing it in Georgia going, oh, my gosh, that's such beautiful alfalfa. You know how much I feed to my horses? Zero. Zero, zero, zero. Not one horse on this whole property gets a flake of alfalfa. My little skinny guys get some alfalfa pellets. But otherwise, that stuff is like crack to horses. I'm not kidding you, Dr. Jones. I had some bales of that along with my hay pile, which was next to my buckets of grain. And a horse got loose, went over there, and he did not eat the grain. He did not eat the grass hay. He sat there and ate the alfalfa.
Oh,
and
it
like,
is.
Okay.
It is. It's like, I think your comparison to the Snickers bar is a good idea because it's very high in sugar depending on when it was cut. And I think, Michelle, you mentioned it last night, and the fact that your horses get out there and they eat that beautiful grass, and then they're like comatose. And they're having that sugar high and then the drop, like you would after you have candy bar. You know, you want to just go to sleep. And they're the same way. Their bellies are full. They're just moving everything along. And now, you know, they have that little high of the sugar and then the drop off.
Yeah. Well, my boys, I keep them in separate paddocks, and they play and buck and run and mess around with each other over the fence on their dry lots. And, you know, I turn them out together in this little paddock, and they have yet to realize that they're actually together on the grass because they're so busy eating. And then I drag them back to their paddocks, and they kind of stumble back after they've been out there. They're
food
still
coma.
In bliss. They're in bliss after having the green grass. So it's
well, I don't know about you guys, but this whole segment's making me hungry for lunch.
You go have yourself a nice salad, okay, Glenn?
You really missed the point of this. And you can't eat a salad with, like, sugary vinaigrette dressing, candied pecans, and mandarin oranges.
Break it up,
okay,
Jenny.
We're talking
break it up.
Lettuce and tomatoes.
Thanks,
all right,
Dr.
you guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll
Thanks.
Talk to y'all next week.
Thank you.
It's been awesome. Awesome.
Bye.
Great job. So hopefully you learned something, Glenn. You know what? I'm going to tell you what. No, mind this. You may not have a horse if it wasn't for your wife, but you would not have a horse if it wasn't for your wife because you'd have killed it by now.
Me and Frankie and his little pony popcorn, if we didn't have our wives, I must admit, my ponies in the past would have been a little chunkier than they were. They're already chunky, but they would have been a lot chunky. I've been good.
Yeah.
I haven't fed this horse one treat since he got to Florida. Not one. How about that? I haven't snuck any hay. I've been good.
You can give them treats. You know, I'm a huge fan of the sugar-free peppermints because the wrapper, you can get them to come from anywhere, and they'll eat the peppermints. And if your horse doesn't eat peppermints, keep trying because eventually they will. I'll shove them up in their mouth, and then they're like, oh, that's actually pretty good. And now they all come
back
with the wrapper.
Couple things before we go today. Don't forget Really Bad Ads on Friday. Get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. Get your Really Bad Ads in. Another thing we're going to try starting tomorrow is we've had some complaints from our loyal listeners about there being a lack of conversation now on Facebook, and that is true. I mean, the way Facebook has been redesigned, it's killing the conversation because people can't find anything. We can't even find anything. So, I mean, we'll keep posting our links up there for the segments on the show, so you can go to Facebook and you can find a link if you're listening later and you have to go back or whatever. But we're also going to try Blog Talk Radio does have a chat room function. So starting tomorrow, and we'll introduce this at the beginning of the show tomorrow, and we'll post a link on Facebook. We will start trying the chat room. So those loyal listeners who want to hop in and actually have a conversation with each other about what goes on in the show, or, you know, I can hear Jamie cringing now because she's going, oh, man, they're just going to blast me the whole time. Or if you want to just go in there and blast Jamie the whole time, not me, but Jamie, that'd be fine. So we're going to give this a try. We don't know if it's going to work or not, or how many of you are interested in the live chat room during the show. But we'll at least open it up, and we'll try it for a week or two and see how it goes. And if it seems to go well, then we'll keep doing it. If not, then we'll stop doing it. But we're trying to find something that allows you a place to talk to each other and chat a little bit that isn't so complicated as Facebook has become. So we'll announce that again tomorrow morning and give everybody the link.
This could be good or bad, Glenn. I'm excited to talk to the listener, but I'm also not wanting to hear when Susan and Tamiko think I'm wrong and they post it immediately when I'm wrong. Although it's nice to have the correct information, I don't want to remind.
Of course, Jamie, I will not encourage them to post when you're wrong. I would never.
Oh, I'm sure. I am sure.
Hey, I got an amazing story to tell you. Before we go, and this is, remember when we were helping raise money for Templeton Thompson to do her new album, and she used a company and a website called Kickstarter.com, and it's a place where entrepreneurs can go and help try and raise money out to the general public to do certain projects, for musicians to raise money for albums, for filmmakers to try and raise money to do a film or product. Well, I got an amazing story to tell you real quick. This company called Pebble Technologies out of Palo Alto, California, came up and has been working for years on this watch. It's a Bluetooth watch that goes on your wrist that ties into your smartphone. And what they have done is it's not only a watch, but it can operate many of the functions of your smartphone on your wrist. And they're making it for runners. It'll have timers built in. I can see where it would be excellent for horse people, too, because you can do many of the things you can do on your phone. You can leave your phone in your pocket while you're riding. All you would have to do is look at your watch. You can check emails. You can text everything from your watch that's tied to this Bluetooth to your smartphone. So they pledged, they needed $100,000 to go into manufacture of these watches. The prototype was done, but they needed to start manufacture. Get this, Jamie. They have had 64,000 people pledge money to the tune of not $100,000, not $1 million. They are now at $9,825,000.
I don't even understand. this whole what is the 9 million for? What do you get with that?
Well, they have certain levels, just like Templeton did when you donated $15, you'd get a copy of her CD, and then at higher levels, you get T-shirts and stuff like that. Well, they did that, you know, at $99, you could donate $99 to this company, help to get this product manufactured, and they would give you one of the watches, which is a savings of about 50% if you had bought it later. And then they had these different levels all the way up to 10,000 or more where you get to be a distributor, and they would give you 100 of the watches. They had so many people respond wanting these watches to be manufactured and to get their watch first that they have now sold over 70,000 of these packages and 70,000 watches. They're going to have to cut it off at 80,000 because they can't get more than that manufactured in a timely period of time. So here's a company that just wanted $100,000 to get this project off the ground and is now at $9,800,000. When I checked last night, it was $9,300,000. They've raised over $500,000 last night.
Did you buy one?
No, but I want to. They look kind of cool. They do look cool. They're going to shut it down soon because they just have too many. They were overwhelmed. But anyway,
some sort of retinal scan that will, you know, tell if anybody's lying? Technology just amazes me. The fact that to me, it just sounds like you got what's on your phone on your watch, right?
That's pretty much it, yeah. And they're making – you can actually write your own applications for your watch. They're opening up the programming on it so people could actually create their own applications for their watch, like for inventors or for – you know, you could do different things if you're a programmer. It was kind of a cool concept.
Use your phone.
Yeah, but if you don't want to bring your phone out of your pocket and you can just look at your watch, that's kind of cool.
Oh, my God. How lazy can we
get? $10 million. They hit the lottery, this company.
Good Lord. I'm just thinking, like, does it clean my stalls? Is it going to feed the horses? Hey, little watchies, go out there and muck the stalls. We got to get out here. nothing. Ridiculous.
Nothing. No, it's not going to do that for you. That's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow here on Horses in the Morning. You can listen to all of our old shows at horsesinthemorning.com. All the past 400 episodes. You can go back and listen to all the way back to episode one if you want to. I think we've gotten better maybe a little bit since then, we hope. But you can go back
don't
and listen
it.
If you want.
No. Don't do it.
Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, Glenn. Goodbye, everybody. Happy birthday, Jennifer. Spay, neuter, and geld. Go ride a horse.
Have another. Yeah. That's the 3 weeks.
I want to ride
have
a horse.
Another.